Blog Talk Radio.
But we spoke about your information and
whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, fast, fast.
Brand new Cadillac, beating like the
leader. We bring them chains out, can't be leader. Sharp as a tack, like I just left church. Clean. Walked in the tack, wonder what won't work me.
Brand new Cadillac, beating like the
everybody wanna know what's really going on. Is you and through down still making songs, so on and so on. I can go on and on and on and on and on. Hell yes.
You make the world go round.
Dope boys in the Cadillac seal. Cast with a crown on your Cadillac feel. I make your wheels of steel stand like your DJ got killed. A fire marshal.
Set it down.
Time to go. Outcast royalty by design of logo. Wanna count it out loud?
93, 94, 95, 96.
Plus a dime, feel that five. Hot like the perm on the back of your neck. Left it in too long. Now you got cabbage patch. Silky. In the corners like a crowbar, oh so unique. Got the pedal to the floor, but the foe don't just creep.
Brand new Cadillac, beating like the leader.
Exotic melodic melodies, yep, we got it funky for the funk of it. And everybody want it. You make it with a dog on it.
You make it with a dog on it.
Don't you go, baby, no, baby, no, no. My heart is like a marching band. I'm a band of shame.
destined for the prodigal. We hop up in that AMT and D, we in the Western. She put them moves on me, I could've told shorty's a wrestler. Talking all that shit, soon as I hit. Now I got her talking like this, in a falsetto. Shawty be coming right back. She talking dirty all up in my ear, and I'm finna put this dog right on a kitty cat. I wasn't gonna show you up, but then you got that liquor calling last night of Luke, acting like she didn't remember. I hopped up by that man and I'm finna dip in my title. Finna put your ass to bed, tell me which way would you like it. Talking all that.
Things I do, Sometimes when I dream of the things I do, I screw. You don't have to be one of them. Don't have to be one of them. You just have to hear what I'm saying. You don't have to say you may. Don't even have to go and post a pic. Don't even have to stop seeing other men. Just listen up when I start to talk. It's good enough. I don't want your body, even though I think about it. It's your mind I want. I just wanna dream of the things I do. The things I do, the things I hate, and all the girls I screw.
With your permission, there's a whole lot. for you to show me what it's hitting for. Sip a little jack, maybe blow a little dro. Love you from behind, but I hate to see you go. Oh, oh, oh. Come on, give me that green light. You can let your hair hang down, but only if it feels right. Oh, give me that green light. I need you to give me that green light. Give me that green light, don't you say no. Baby, I can't stop, won't stop, till you say so. Give me that green light, don't you say no. Baby, I can't stop, won't stop, till you say so. Come on and give me that green light. Come on and give me. Come on and give me that green light. Come on, give me that green light. Ooh, oh, you can let your head hang down, but only if it feels right. Only if it feels right. Oh, give me that green light. Only give me that green light.
Looking for limits, I don't see them nowhere. I wanna Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. My goodness. All that dead air.
Yeah, we don't want that. We don't want no dead air. The music was popping. Thank you. The music was popping.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Background.
Yeah, I'm in the mood.
You know what's the worst thing ever? The worst thing ever is that I was talking this entire time on mute. I was running my yap.
Wow.
Crazy. On
mute.
I was running the yap. I was like, man, I was giving all kinds of explanations. Now I got to run it back. Run it back. I got to run it all back.
Run it back, Turbo.
Run it back, run it back. Everybody's like, dead air. We don't hear anything. I'm sitting there. I'm like, wait a second. I'm talking. I was like, I can hear them. I'm on some rookie shit today. And I ain't even smoking nothing. It's crazy. Anyway, this is nice. This is nice. Like, it's like Mojave was smoking on 420. And wait a second, he didn't have no Reggie and nothing. What's going on with him? Anyway, here we go. So, ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, everyone listening within the sound of my voice, those who are streaming, those who are listening via your different listening devices, welcome to Epiphany Radio Universe. This is the Hidden Radio Show. Our feature tonight will be the Swanky Savages. However, they are in a place where they are 420'd out and they're doing 420. We're going to give them a little while to get themselves together because it's heavy. as I was told, it's heavy. And I understand that if you're in 420 doing 420 on 420, it can get a little heavy. All right. So that being said, we're going to change the format just a little bit. And I just said all this stuff and explained myself, and I feel kind of foolish because I was like, yeah. So we're going to do something a little bit differently this evening. We're going to do conversation first. We're doing conversation and then poetry, and we're going to mix it up a little bit. It's something I've never done before. I never mixed the poetry with the conversation. I like to keep them in two separate boxes. But tonight, because we're waiting for the Swanky, for the Savages to come through, we will honor all poems that want to come, because you know what? It's about freeing yourself and expressing yourself. All right, and we have to talk about what happened tonight, what happened today, why it was so momentous. And so I just went and got some of my favorite people to come through. Most of them were war council, some people who rock with us and hang out with us. But more importantly, it's us to have this conversation and what needs to be done, because, you know, I was tired, man. Like, unlike anybody else. When I heard, like I literally, when they said remand, they said bail, deny, remand, I broke down and cried, because I was like, we got one. I was like, we finally got one out the gate, you know. And even that is still not safe, because he can appeal. You know, and there's so much stuff that's going on, and some people will think, like, they'll let the appeal, they'll let it die out, they'll be like, okay, well, we're going to let you rock for a little while, and then we're going to quietly quietly have this thing, and then we'll release you, and then you can go off and whatever you're going to do. That's what happens. But we're not going to talk about all the stuff. We're going to talk about exactly how it affects us, why it affects us, and why it does what it does. And so if you feel like you want to be a part of the conversation, please feel free to call in. The number is 319-527-6300. Again, I repeat, that's 319-527-6300. Don't be afraid to press 1. We're going to have some type of fun while we're talking in the conversation, and when it's time for the poetry, then we'll get back to the poetry. But in the meantime, in between time, let me introduce you to some really dope people. All right, are you ready? All right, so first up to the mic, I invited my good brother Wendell, who I met doing a masculinity panel for author Michelle Washington, which we rocked him ever since. I brought him into War Council. Super dope brother, great state of Florida. Wendell, introduce yourself, sir.
Greetings, peace and blessings. Much love to all my people out there. Glad to be here with you, and looking forward to this dope panel and hearing some dope poetry as well. So thank you for having me, Mojave.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for coming. I appreciate you. And next up is we have the man who needs no real introduction, because he's Mr. Pineapple Calligraphy, the Green-Eyed Bandit. You know, I keep it bald so you can't stop me. I keep it bald so you can't stop me. Our station manager, Mr. Van Meadows, a.k.a. Poetic. Introduce yourself to the people, sir.
Hey, everyone. Of course, this is Van Meadows, Poetic. Just excited to be here. Station manager, poet, author. But my best title is Daddy from my kids. So, what's happening?
I ain't going to make fun, but notice he had to distinguish that.
I know. I had to distinguish that.
Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Somebody say hello. All right. Coming up next to the microphone, one half of the Love Zone, one half of Poetic Therapy, my favorite Philly John. My favorite. Like we talk every day. We just get together and just talk shit, because that's what we do. We talk shit and we make plans. And she hates me because I'm in her pocket with my designs, and we just spend a whole bunch of money on stuff, because I just be suggesting stuff and she's making her mad. So if she talking about she's broke, it's because of me. My bad. That's what happens. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you La Perla Negra.
Love and light, everybody. Yeah, Mojave, he's a killing me. He really is killing me, because one of my weaknesses is talking t-shirts. I love shirts that make a statement, that say something that's thought-provoking or just attractive. So, yeah, he kills me, but...
this is what we do.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. We cool though. We cool, Phoenix.
We cool. All right. Now we're gonna go to one of the most esteemed poets that I know. Good man, all around man, super dope. He dances very well with his verbals. Ladies and gentlemen, let me give you Joe the Verbal Mind Dancer.
Oh, man, yes, sir.
I don't know. Joe, are you there?
Yeah, I was muted. My bad. I didn't want to make no background noise. Good evening, everybody. Yeah. How's everybody doing? Oh.
Hey.
All right, so we got you. We in here. And then we also have... from the War Council and Black Education Matters, here for the Hidden Radio Show, we have Miss Tanya Gordon. Miss Gordon, are you there?
Evening, everybody.
Hey, Tanya.
What's happening? That's happening. Well, now it's a party. Now, if you'd like to take part in this discussion, feel free to press 1. I know that there's people on here. I don't know everybody's number. I'm horrible at reading numbers. Shit, I just had a hard time taking myself off of you. That's goofy. But, and I was supposed to go get somebody else, but I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that in the meantime, in between time with the comments. But let's talk about today. Let's talk about, you know, because I know Dawood's going to show up in some minute. And, you know, like, everybody's going to file in at some point. So it's going to be a conversation. And so what did the verdict mean to you? Now, I explained to you, it really made me, like, I was dog tired. Like, I don't even know what happened. It was like a wave of tiredness took over me. And I was like, I couldn't even talk to the point where I felt, because it's like, I just knew the fucking world was going to burn. That's what I thought. I was like, the world's going to burn. You know, the world is going to burn. But it didn't. Yeah. I was like, I was guilty on all charges. And then the judge asked them, and they was like, yeah, that's my, yeah, no. Yeah. They was like, no, that's my vote. That's, yeah, there you go, carrying on. So let's run through real quick. So Wendell, what did it mean to you?
So I've been around long enough to see, and I believe anyone melanated in this country has seen time and time again where a shred of hope is shredded by hope of justice. And so I find myself, you know, somewhat relieved, but still cautiously optimistic about what is yet to come. It made me feel good to hear that he was found guilty on all counts. And therein is the ray of hope. But as my dear friend, the architect from The Matrix said, you know, hope is the quintessential human delusion, simultaneously the source of your greatest strength and your greatest weakness. I do not trust to hope always, because hope is not a strategy. While we can take some solace that the wheels of justice may be grinding, oftentimes the hope that we have gets ground into the ground. When the sentencing does not reflect the gravity of the offense, and it becomes a slap in the face of the people who have been told to trust the system. So I remain cautiously optimistic, but I am more cautious than I am optimistic. But in this moment, I had a brief sigh of relief.
Dope. Poetic.
I sat here with my 12-year-old son as we watched the verdict together. And he saw me cheering as if I was watching a football game. And like Wendell said, it, hope. There's a part of me that feels like that we will be let down by the sentencing. the other part of me is happy that he was found guilty on all counts. And then there's this third part of me that says he was not a police officer at that trial. He was a regular person. I wished he was still a police officer on trial. He's an ex-police officer on trial for doing what he did, murdering a man. I watched another instance where the police officer that killed Walter Scott got denied to have his sentence, his jail time reduced. So there is some light that we are seeing, but we are far, far from where we need to be. This is a small step. This is a small step, but we're far from where we need to be.
All right, dope. The Perla Negra.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. My daughter called me and asked me if I had seen it or heard anything, and I was telling her no. But when she told me what the verdict was, I was happy, but at the same time, I'm sensible. In my head, I'm like, well, you know, there's always a chance of a turnaround, 40-fold. That's the way it goes, and like the gentleman said, it kills our hope. It's always that chance. But you know what? What's going on, I believe, is God's hands are in everything, and he's turning around things the way that they should be. That's the one thing that does keep me hopeful, but the human side of me is still like, you know, I don't trust it. I don't trust it. I don't want to get too excited because I don't want to get my heart broken again by the justice system. And that's what they tend to do a lot. It goes against everything that we want to believe in. But all in the same, you know, I'm glad he got what he got. And I hope he has to stay there. I hope they keep him there. Even if he appeals it, I hope it doesn't go in his favor. I'm praying that he stays where they plant his ass. And anything else that comes about with these rotten cops that do what they do, I hope they get justice served to them too. And they stay where they get planted. And that's pretty much the way I feel about it.
All right, dope. Ms. Gordon.
So I'm with Van in the sense of the conversation with my son went differently this time. I've gotten so tired. My son is 21, and I've gotten so tired of having the conversation when he leaves the house with his friends, when he's out of town with friends. I'm tired of having the conversation. My son is 6'2", 350, big guy, baby face, but to many, they see intimidation. And so for me, it was a sigh of relief. I didn't watch the verdict because I have to protect my peace. I'm one of those people that I get crunk, I get mad, I get out of pocket if it doesn't go, and then I hate everybody. Just be honest. You ain't black. I don't like you. But the conversation went different this time for my son. And do I feel, you know, I'm along with the other panelists. Am I like, yay, yippee? I'm waiting for the sentencing. I need to know if justice is going to be served on that end, whereas they found him guilty. And I hope that with this, this verdict sends a notion to everyone that people are tired of the same old rigmarole. that we're just tired of it. And black lives truly matter. Truly matter. We're the precipice of what a bunch of things are built on. We truly matter.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. We're going to go to Joe, the verbal mind dancer.
Yo, yo, how you doing, brother?
I'm good, I'm good. What's happening, Brody?
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, to the issue at hand, man, I watched it, the trial, Gavel to Gavel, you know, even before, you know, ever since the incident first started, I've been keeping a close eye on this thing. Now, the verdict, although, you know, I was happy with the verdict. You know, I heard all the naysayers, and, you know, okay, yeah, we heard this song before, and we have. But, you know, it was a sense of relief. You know, finally, yeah, you know, justice has prevailed in a sense. But then again, I feel like, you know, I look at it like April 15th, you know, tax day. You know, we get that dread, okay, we got to fill out the taxes and all that. We do that shit. It's over with. You might get a little money back, get a sigh of relief. But, you know, next year, here we go again. What's the next incident? You know, that doesn't get filmed on camera. That we don't hear about. The ones that we haven't heard about. That's still on my mind. You know, they talked about, they brought about the Mega Evans, you know, that type of injustice, and they just let it go. Rodney King came to mind. We had video. I mean, video. Come on, man. He's resisting. Four dudes with sticks, you know, wailing, kicking. But, you know, that superhuman thing, that, you know, come on, man. So, you know, it's good. Yeah, you know, we got one. Okay. But that's just one out of the thousands we don't even know about. This one we happen to catch. It's the ones that we haven't catch yet. It's being thrown under some pile of, you know, legal bullshit. So, yeah, you know, I'm happy, they got their money, they got their justice. That's good. What's next, you know, because there were four other officers in that trial, too. Their day's coming up around August, I think.
Yes, sir.
What's going to happen then? You know, they didn't do all the knee in the neck, but, you know, are their actions justified? Was that protocol? I mean, you know, to me, that's an accessory.
Mm-hmm.
So they should get the same thing. That's accessory to murder.
Mm-hmm.
If he's charged with murder, then that, damn it, they're accessory because they did not help. They did not intervene. They ain't do shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's where my head is right now. Yeah, you know, it feels good. It's glad. I'm glad, you know, they didn't tear up the country because I was worried about that, too. Because had it gone the other way, trust and believe.
You
all hell would have broke loose. All hell would have broke loose.
Yes, sir.
No,
and I hope this wasn't guilty because they weren't about that. I hope it's a guilty because of what he did.
It's true.
That's my feeling.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, I mean, like, with anything else that's happening right now, you know, we're looking towards the charge, and we're looking to see, you know, the funny thing is, like, the weird thing that I see that's occurring, and, you know, and I bring this before you guys, is that before it used to just be us marching. It used to be just black people in the street being treated horribly. We can see the difference between what happened with the insurrectionists versus us as peaceful protesters and doing everything that needs to be happening. You know, the complete and total disregard of peace as opposed to people who came to actually murder, you know, take over, you know, basically traitors to the Constitution and everything that we can sense with everything else that's happening. So, you know, I love the fact that Wendell, you know, hope is a commodity and a lot of things, but what I'm noticing more and more is that it's not just us in the streets. Like, when I looked over that crowd, I looked at there was a good deal of you know, white folks, just different peoples in the crowd, and everybody standing there. And so,
and
the funny thing is that
the majority.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But, and it was like difference because there's, like, as Danielle said, there's an awakening because certain people are starting to understand that things happen to people that they never had to consider before. Like, so, mm-hmm. for example, like, I have a fraternity brother who's white. He's very, very aware of everything. And he's like, I can only be an ally. I cannot do what you expect me to do, but I can stand with you and give my life like you would give your life. Right. And I'm like, all we ask you to do is to see exactly what's happening and to know who's actually doing it, you know, because
knowledge
what goes on and everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so when we're looking at it, we're really trying to figure out exactly what it is, what we're trying to do, how we're trying to come to terms with how these things are actually are going on with us. And so the funny thing is, like, when they were burning cities, right? So we have a good friend, Paul Kane. Shout out to Paul Kane. Marvel versus DC coming up in May. Part four. Paul Kane organizes in the city of Albany. Like, he really organizes. Like, and he literally, and they had, like, blow by blow. And what we notice is, like, he's like, listen, these are Proud Boys. These are people coming in from out of town. These are the people who are burning shit down. But yet black folks was experiencing all the things and saying, oh, the black people burning cities, and it became a Republican talking point and all this other shit that was happening. But I think in this particular person, the horror of seeing this man knee on his neck woke up a lot of people. Like, and I watched the lady who was a firefighter and her face, like, if you look at all the pictures of her face and what she was trying to do and how she broke down on the stand, like, she was outraged, and so many people started to experience for the first time outrage and see it for what it really is and see for how it was actually happening and experiencing that. And that's one of the things I think that was so different than anything else. I thought that people were waiting for the outrage, but it was like not just everybody. It was other people getting mad as well, like, yo, this is crazy. Now, last thing I'm going to say is, normally, like, I watched the clip on, like I watched the clip. I forgot who sent me the clip, but the clip was, right, and it was, like, crazy because it's getting to the point, like, you know, black folks is not really sitting around waiting for stuff to happen anymore. Like, they're really just like, mm-hmm. fuck this, fuck you. It's you getting rushed. So there's a video clip that's on Instagram where a guy who's operating a carny ride and a black woman is getting off the thing. She's yelling because he wasn't trying to let people off.
Yeah.
And so people's fucking
yeah.
And so
– yeah.
So the funny thing is, like, when the lady was trying to talk to him, he just ran up and started trying to hit on her, right, knocked her baby underneath the thing. I never seen so many people rush that man. And they were like, kick his ass. Kick his ass. Kick his ass.
He should have got his ass whooped.
Right. Yeah, and but they put it on him. And I said, listen, I said, people are no longer going to sit here and stand pat. I was like, they're not going to do this anymore. So I felt like this verdict was probably one of the best things you could have ever did, because mm-hmm. you just stopped the world from burning, because it wouldn't have just started there, you know, in that particular state. It would have went everywhere. But I didn't want to dominate the conversation, mm-hmm. but let's move forward. Now, wait, before I do that, let me check the room now. If you're a part of this conversation, hold on. We're going to open up a mic. Area code 703. Just make sure who it is. Area code 703. Who may I ask you speaking?
Hi, everybody. How are y'all doing?
Hello. Are we good?
Good evening.
Oh, gosh. You're talking about the verdict.
Wait,
today.
You got to give us your name.
I'm so sorry. First name is Shannon. Last name is Grace Chappelle.
Okay. Hey, we heard you before.
Hey, Shannon.
Hey,
absolutely.
Shannon.
Hey. Oh, gosh. I think I was holding my breath all day today. Waiting for this verdict, and it almost took me back to when we were waiting for the OJ verdict. That intensity, you know, of like what's going to happen. You know, this is two totally different things. But you know, if you remember that time, you know, it's like you're holding your breath. It was the same type of holding your breath, but in a different way because we were in a different situation. I almost feel like the charges that they gave him. And him being guilty is just a small part of trying to do something, because I feel like they needed to prosecute him to keep the drama and to keep the outrage at bay. You know, that's what I felt like it's like, if that makes any sense. Because we saw it. This is the first time that the world has saw, well, the first time we knew for sure that we saw someone get murdered. Kids mm-hmm. saw it. Adults saw it. You know, mm-hmm. it was there. I have never in my life, in my 44 years, have seen that, the mm-hmm. life drain out of somebody. And it was eye-opening. It was. And it was uncalled for, and it was scary. I feel more comfortable, like one of the young ladies had said, I feel more comfortable when I hear the sentencing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I hear the sentencing, I might feel a little bit more comfortable. This, you know, George Floyd and the full list of people that have had injustice happen to them from the law and from police officers or what have you, this is not new. This is just what we have seen.
Right.
This has been, you know, if you really go back, this people in the 20s, further back than that, same type right. of stuff that happened is just in the open now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes when something is in the open, you have to address it. You know, if it's right there, you know, you got to say mm-hmm. something. And I think that's what they did with prosecuting him. I think that's what they did. I don't feel completely comfortable. I feel like it's a step, but I don't feel like it's a complete victory yet.
Not yet.
Well, I definitely understand.
Yeah, hopefully this won't be just a pacifier, you know, and then they turn around and break our hearts. Because, yeah, this will be a worldwide catastrophe if this does not go the way it's supposed to go. This is the first time the undeniable truth hasn't been pushed to the side. Not yet. Mm-hmm. And hopefully mm-hmm. it won't be. Because, you know, the look on that cop's face when he was doing that shit, it mm-hmm. said he woke up and said, I'm going to kill me a nigga today. And that's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
And that's exactly what he did. He set out to do exactly what was on his mind. So it's like you said, it has been going on forever with us.
Oh, yeah.
It's just that now we have more visual exposure to it because of technology. So it can't be always pushed to the side or slid under the rug or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
They have to start doing something about this. And this is biblical as well. Okay. Things are starting to turn around, and I'm hoping that they continue to go in the right direction. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the one thing that I think
thank you very much.
Also, Well, hang out, Shannon. I just received the thing from the Swanky. I told them I would bring them in at 10 o'clock, that they will be ready. We'll be doing a station identification while I'm doing so, which would be good. Mm-hmm. It would be something that's happening. Now, if you're willing to participate in this portion of the discussion, we got 5 more minutes to talk about this, but I'm going to ask a question of everybody that's here right now. So of all the recent things of black men being killed, which one broke your heart the most? All right, I'm going to start with Wendell and move down. And just tell me who and why. Why did it break your heart? So, Wendell, we'll start with you and move down. So.
Oh, man. You know, that's a question that is really hard to answer, because how much heart do we have to break? It's, you know, each time my heart breaks and tries to heal, you know, the scar tissue that's left replaces what used to be healthy, functioning flesh. And so now I've got a jigsaw puzzle and piecemeal patchwork of an organ that used to be fully functional and sending blood through my body, and now, you know, the pulse is stilling. So how do I say, you know,
it hurts me more to see Walter Scott shot in the back than it does to see Tamir Rice shot in the front. To see Sandra Bland hung up in a jail cell versus seeing George Floyd lynched on a sidewalk. I can't quantify it. I can't rank it. Because in each one of those brown faces, in each one of those melanated bodies, I see some aspect and reflection of myself and the possibility of what could be if and only if situations and circumstances don't change. So that's a question I can't really answer that for you, brother, you know, because every single time
I understand. It
gets more and more more egregious, you know. I went up to Louisville, Kentucky, you know, with an armed group in protest and demanding transparency for you know, for our sister there. And I mean, there's so many hashtags and there's so many names to remember and so many lives relegated to the past tense before many people have a chance to finish drinking their coffee or swallowing their breakfast, you know. So, you know, Breonna Taylor, I mean, so many, Philando Castile, you know, how do we say that one lost life hurts more than another?
You're right. So I'm going to move on to Van Meadows.
You know, like the brother said, it's hard to say just one. But I remember feeling a certain way watching George Floyd slowly die. Literally watching another man strangle the life out of a black man bothered me to my core. Not saying that the other ones that I have seen have not bothered me, but this one bothered me more. So much more that I could not believe the amount of ignorance between the other officers who just stood by and just allowed it to happen. And not look at them and not pull him off of him. The man begged and pleaded for his life.
For his mama.
And for his mama.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, and that was so heartbreaking to me that police officer didn't have enough decency and compassion to get off of him. As a matter of fact, he was already in handcuffs while he was on the ground.
Right.
That unnecessary use of force, and then the way it was broadcasted, it bothered me. It bothered me immensely.
Wow. La Perla Negra.
You know, I can't pick one. Seeing all of them at some time or another has really broken my heart. But yeah, like Van said, watching this from beginning to end, this was broadcast from beginning to end as that man's life left his body. And that right there was a major shock to my system. I've seen someone murdered before, but not like that. It was the whole process from beginning to end of that man's life being taken from him and him begging and pleading. It tore my heart out. So I can't really pick just one. And whenever I hear about something like this and I see something like this, you know, I have boys too. And my oldest son, just quit his job working for Amazon because he has had a run-in with the Klan, and he has had a run-in with a drunken white man who called the cops on him, and four cops pulled up on him just from that one phone call. And all this happens while he's doing his job. And he's been driven off the road into a ditch and hit a tree that sent me into sent my heart into a tailspin, because when I was speaking to him, when he called me, his face was bloody, teeth were knocked out, and he didn't know where he was. And we lost the signal, and that was like the last time I seen him for a good while, and I panicked. I just completely lost it. And if it wasn't for Mojave talking to me, calming me down a little bit, I don't know, you know, I don't know how I would have handled it right then and there. And all this because of the color of his skin, and this hate that is filled in these people's hearts. So I think about my sons. I fear for my son to go around the corner, even though I sent him to the store. Y'all that know me know I'm famous for sending my son to the store. Okay. But I do. I pray for him in my head every time I send him out the door, because it's so bad out here. And I don't want to picture anything bad happening to him because I don't want to manifest anything. But you can't help but wonder, as soon as they leave out the door, is it going to be them this time? Is it going to be my son this time? And I worry about my daughter, too. But the men, the younger men and the older men are the ones that are targeted more so than anybody else. So I can't just pick one out of any of them and say that it hurts me more. It's just one. This one particular one with George Floyd is the most shocking to my system.
Mm. Okay. We're going to go to Tanya Gordon.
I agree that I couldn't pick just one, but if I had to, I would have to say that this one has been the most traumatizing for me. I've never watched somebody be killed. And to be honest, I did not watch the complete video. I have yet to watch the complete video because it was just too much for me to take. Like, I couldn't keep that mental in my head. It's just, this is heavy. It's really heavy for me because I truly hope that the sense of vindication that we want, that it truly comes, and that this is a precedent-setting situation with sentencing and with vindication.
Wow. Joe, the verbal mind dancer.
Yes, sir. It is a tough choice. But I would have to say the George Floyd case, it really struck me hard. Because like a lot of the previous callers said, you know, he saw it. He saw it happen. You know, I didn't see the cops go in the R. Kelly's home. You know, now some of the other videos I saw, but, you know, it didn't move me because it's like I'm almost numb, and I shouldn't be.
Yeah,
but you know, I'm 66 years old. I've seen a lot of horrible shit. But this stuck out because to have all those bystanders, a woman that's a paramedic, you know, trained, a guy, the boxing dude, you know, training that sort of thing, man. The cops training that sort of thing, you know. They show his sign on a dotted line. I took this class. Where that at? It blew my mind, man, how it could take this long for them to see that. To see it as it is, you know, all this underlying crap, you know,
what he did with his girlfriend 100 years ago, who gives a shit? We talking about here and now. If that was here and now, that's what really got me, because I saw it. Now, I listened to all the medical, all that shit, man. He killed that dude, man. Plain and simple, he killed that man right in front of my eyes, and then that got me, man. No, other than the mowing of the dog, all of them horrific, all of them heart wrenching, but that, yeah, that's the one that got me.
Okay, we're gonna move to Dawood. Dawood, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, you can. Okay. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. So the question is, which one hurts you the most? That's the question?
Yes.
Okay, so man, I'm going to say what hurt me most is Breonna Taylor. And the reason why is this. And this is like a two-part answer, so I'm going to try to be as fast as I possibly can. See, the Breonna Taylor situation, it hurts me because that woman was unknowingly inducted into the trap life. And I got daughters, you know what I'm saying? And you love who you love, you get involved who you get involved, and you can tell women to stay away from certain kinds of men, and you can tell men to stay away from certain kinds of women, but she just happened to fall in love with a piece of shit that was running a trap operation. And that's how the police got on her trail, and then they bust in and they do that to her. And to me, I just can't help thinking that, like, if this dude didn't do what he did and induct her into a life that she really didn't want to live, it would have never happened. And again, I got daughters, so you just never know, because you can tell your daughters what kind of man to deal with or whatever, but they're going to grow up and deal with, you know, their heart is going to open to whatever kind of man they want to open to. Here's a woman that was looked at as, like, I don't know if anybody really did research on her, but was loved all over the community that she was in. You understand? It was a huge loss. And for them to just bust in there and gun her down like that with no justification and not face any kind of repercussions is just crazy to me. So that really hurt me when I saw that, because once I really found the story out and how the piece of shit dude he had, like, her, and he had, I guess he had some trap money in her house and stuff like that, and he had other baby moms. It's terrible to me how men use a lifestyle that they're a part of, but you, because he's perfection. And it scares me, my daughters. So I can relate to the whole Floyd situation, but the Breonna Taylor, it's near and dear to me. Because to me, you know, it was a lifestyle she should have never had no business being a part of, but because she was in love with a dude that didn't expose her to that kind of danger, you understand? I mean, the police did their job too, and they had remorse. But the reality is, the guy most responsible for that was her boyfriend, you know, the one that she was with before the boyfriend that she was with that day. And he exposed her to, it just, every time I think about it, I just, because I think I'm home to make a better decision, but you just never know. But the second part of what I'm going to put this on my Facebook today was this, is that, you know, my teacher, his son, he got killed by gun violence back in, like, 1999. And the worst part about the whole thing was when he had to go to court to prosecute the guy that did it. And hearing the proceedings, like the defense, talk about the murder and his last dying days about how he faced, how he stumbled and was bleeding out. Like, you as a parent, you that. And you got to hear your child suffered before they died. Looking at this case from one point of view, of course. There's another point of view, which is, well, how do you think George Floyd's family feel when they hear, they relive the testimony of how that man killed him by kneeling on his neck? You understand? It's like it's because you want to do something, but you can't. So I don't know if one murder is more traumatic than the other, but I do know that's the feeling, because, you know, years later, like maybe 2 years later, whatever, we'd be in his house, because that was, you know, that was my teacher, that was my minister, and he would tell us, okay, get out the room, because he had to cry by himself when a wave of his son hurried over him, and he would think about that. I just don't think that we think about things like this when we think about a George Floyd, or Walter Scott, or anybody. These young men and women got parents, and these parents had to go through and relive their murders, even in the trial, and the whole world saw how somebody took your child's life, and now you got to relive that in front of the whole world. It's a high-profile death. Even Trayvon Martin, when they go through the court cases, the whole world has to listen about how one person murdered your child, and you got to relive that with the whole world. It's terrible.
Yeah, I definitely understand that. I'm going to take this phone call from area code 484. Area code 484, Master speaking.
Yes, this is Blaze. Let me give me some insight on a call again on the mess or what the call is about.
Listen, so we were asking, in all of these deaths of unarmed black men taking their lives taken by police, which one affected you the most?
Oh, good God. Like three to me. And I think George Floyd was like the straw that broke the camel's back, because that was for every black person, period. That was the end all to be all. Like, there's no way in hell that we're going through this again. This is the end of it. This is where it stops. But to me, it's between Freddie Gray, Eric Garner, and George Floyd, because they met some of the most horrific deaths. The circumstantial ones were other deaths that went on, people getting shot and killed. But to me, Freddie Gray getting thrown in the back of that truck after being handcuffed and beat and looking like he was tied up in a pretzel with handcuffs on his arm, his wrists and ankles. I just can't believe you would do that to somebody. And then you throw him in the back of a truck, and whatever you did behind the scenes in the back of that truck was horrific. I know it. I know it was, because for him to have suffered those type of pains and injuries in the back of that truck before he was let out, I can't believe you humanistically do that shit to somebody. I couldn't do that to my worst enemy. I can't inflict that type of pain on nobody. So how could you collectively think you were going to get away with that shit doing that to that man? And then Eric Garner, you choke him out in broad daylight, and as he keeps saying, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe," you still choking him? You still choking him, and you can hear his life leaving him as he keeps saying, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe," and you're choking him. You don't do that in a fucking MMA match. When you hear them tap out, you let them the fuck go.
No,
and
that doesn't
then
happen.
If there's any force on top of that that's needed, then okay, let him breathe. And then George Floyd, like, what the fuck is wrong with y'all? And honestly, I hate this harboring in my heart, but if the tables was turned and we did these things to white people or to people that we didn't like, we already are labeled. How much more of a label will that be if we did that to them? I don't get how y'all think y'all can do this shit to people and it's cool. Oh, and all lives matter. Okay, so why the fuck are you... I don't want to go through it, but anyway, that's how I feel. So it's those three that stick out to me more than anything. So that's it. I can't say anymore.
you muted? Did you mute yourself?
More than likely. Mojave, unmute yourself.
Crap, sorry.
Mojave got knocked off, y'all.
My bad. I had to go get the Swanky Savages. But to follow up what you were saying, and to understand, first of all, you have to understand that qualified immunity allows officers to do what they do, and that's why there's a movement to do that. And as long as the public is, you know, even when they settle any of these cases are settled by public. They're pulled from public funds. They're not pulled from you know, pensions or anything else like that. You know, all they literally have to do constitutionally is say, I fear for my life. That's why they say it so quickly, even though that they know that they didn't. Even though they know that any of the stuff is going on. Like, clearly, one of the things that was very important to the trial, what the prosecutors really did their job, shout out to Keith Ellison and all them, they really took every theory that the defense had and turned it on its head, kicked it in its ass, and told them to get the fuck on. And that's what they did for every single thing, and they proved, because they tried everything underneath the sun to spin the narrative so that the narrative would be, okay, here's the narrative. We're basically saying that, you know, because the people were, like, you're going to come up with a theory that the people, because the people were there, that's the reason why he had to keep leaning on his neck. No, he didn't have to. People call the police on the police. And then even the police were telling you, and then when you have police testifying against other police officers saying, no, this is not what happened, you have to understand what kind of a sick man this man is. You have to understand how sick he is. Because the thing is that when you have the people who came to get the body, and even though they came, he still wouldn't get up, that was cold-blooded murder. And mm-hmm. It didn't matter who was there. And the thing is that media has a way of putting our deaths front and center to create a narrative to scare us. It's post-traumatic stress that we experience every time we see somebody's body laid out. We saw Mike Brown's body laid there. They let him bleed out. Like I have a piece bleed out. I don't even like doing it. Like, I hate doing the piece because it's so fucking true, because I did the research. They shoot people and they handcuff them and put their bodies on the ground so that their heart pumps their blood out of their body. It's called bleeding out. It's the same thing you do when if you hunt and you kill an animal. What do you do to that animal?
You hang it upside down. Exactly.
Hang it upside down.
And you let it bleed the fuck out. This is not anything that's new to us. This is shit that they actually fucking do all the fucking time.
Yeah.
And they put people on their major body cavity. But yet, somebody with an automatic machine gun could go kill massive amount of people, and they talk that motherfucker down.
And get Burger King.
And get Burger King.
And get
that part.
So,
yeah. And get studied.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, and get to the point, and then, oh, this person's mentally innate, blah, blah, blah. I say, wait a second. So you're trying to tell me, a black man who wasn't armed, like, for me, the Eric Gardner case was crazy to me, because me and my son both watched the light leave his eyes. We watched it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And when we watched it, we said to ourselves, we said, holy shit, like I had to explain to my son, this is what could happen. This is the reason why we have to be so vigilant, how we have to carry ourselves, because even your language, your diction, how you talk, it all makes a difference to certain people in deciding whether they can take your life or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so even to the point where now we're starting to see this thing where, like, with the death of Dante Wright, right? Every officer that had something to say about it is like, you can't mistake that. She made that choice. It's like Betty Shelby. She made that choice.
Mm-hmm.
Betty
yep.
Shelby made a choice to kill him. You know,
yep.
She made a choice. Because she said, taser, yep. taser, 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 right? Now, when you deploy a taser makes a very specific sound when you arm it.
Very
distinct sound when you arm it. It's very light. It's very big. It's yellow. Yellow, and it's not on your thing. So when you pulled your thing, and you shot, and you say, "Oh shit, I think I shot him,"
that was you telling yourself, I fucked up really bad because I wanted to shoot him, but you just caught me, so I have to say things for them. It's just like when people say stop resisting, and they're the ones beating the shit out you, but they're telling you to stop resisting because they wanted to go on camera, so they want to go on camera sounds as you sound like anything. And what do you hear most people say? I'm not resisting. I'm not doing anything. And they're like, stop resisting. And every time they tell you stop resisting, they're striking harder. But anyway, we're going to return to this conversation because
they'll holler, stop resisting before they even engage you.
Exactly.
On their approach to make contact with you, to accost you unjustifiably, they will shout, stop resisting, so that they can start building their defense case. And it's so simple to see.
See, and the funny thing is, like the one thing they tell you people, like any lawyer worth his salt will tell you that when police, he's like, they say, don't talk to the police. Don't say anything because they are building their case. Everything is just so, and they're allowed to lie to you about everything. So from the minute they talk to you, now district attorneys, assistant ADAs are not allowed to lie. They're not allowed to say anything that's a lie. They have to present factual evidence each and every time. So if you're in a situation, never talk to the detective, talk to the ADA or the DA, whoever it is. They have to tell you the truth about your situation. They have to tell you everything. But police officers don't. Their job and their duty is to help build the case against you because they need to figure out what it is to do. Now, for example, kids that were riding their bikes in Perth Amboy, right? The police stopped and ran up on them like they were criminals, right? And he said, and the kid was like, "Yo, you put no money on this bike, you can't take my bike, right?" And they said, "There's a law in Perth Amboy that requires that they have to register their bikes. They weren't from Perth Amboy, so what's the easy answer to this? Let them go home." But no, they took their bikes and they arrested the kid who was the mouthiest and had no things. So I said, this is a suit. This is an actual literal suit. I said, the more we litigate, but we have to make sure that we have to eliminate qualified immunity. We have to start taking money from the police unions. And we say defend the police, everybody, oh, you want to take the money from the police? No, we want to put all that money into social services, social workers, people dealing with things, people who can actually deal with something so that we don't get killed. Because the other thing that we don't talk about is how many of us that are mentally ill are killed by police. We don't talk about it. We don't have that. But literally, I can show you reel after reel that when somebody has some type of mental issue, there's a case in Texas where they said the guy had schizophrenia, right, and they killed him, right? And they said that somehow he got into this. They fired 7 people, and they said something about his spit hood asphyxiation, which means there was another case where a brother, they was tasing him in his balls and doing all kinds of stuff. And when the video came out, these men were just torturing him. But I digress. Here's what's going to happen, The Swanky Savages is in the building, I got to get to the Swanky Savages. I know we want to talk about it. We're going to put in the parking lot. The Swanky Savages is in the building here from a crib so swanky. They're over in Denver right now, live. I believe I have Danny on the line. Danny, did I say it right?
You got it right. Danny. You got it right.
I got it right. So. Yeah, because we had to have the whole conversation until you got here, until y'all was ready.
We were listening to the conversation. We were in it. We enjoyed the conversation y'all was having. But yeah, we ended up then. You know, it's a big ass time. And we've been smoking so much, so we're getting it together. But I hope you enjoyed your
420. Well, I didn't really partake this 420. I'm sorry. I could not. I must be everything else. I'm sorry. But it's an okay day. So why don't you tell us about the Swanky Savages while we have you on the phone and talk about what is it that the Swanky Savages actually do?
I'm not our first rodeo here either, you know. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can't hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, I was saying, I know it's not our first rodeo here. Isn't the Swanky Savages a global creative agency? And the Crypto Swanky is our literature group and our literature collective. You know, we fresh off of Clubhouse, but we're bigger than Clubhouse. So, but we have our Push Our Pen retreat. That's where we're at right now. We're in Colorado. We started off in Denver. And then we drove 4 hours, did a little road trip, and now we're south in the mountains. Yeah, and we're just here writing and, you know, healing. That's what we're on right now.
That's what's up. That's what's up. That's what's going on. So, so who do you have as your first poet to represent from?
All right, I'll go first. You know, I'll do the poem that I wrote to, like just for the Honey Dippers room. So.
Okay, so hold on. Let me get this set. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to put everybody back in the queue. Right. We're gonna go through a couple of poets, and we're gonna get back to the conversation. And you guys are gonna join us, right?
Yes.
All right. So I'm gonna mute everybody's mic because we wanna make sure that we have a clear and clarity. We're gonna make sure everybody's rocking, and we're gonna get back to the conversation because it's a momentous day. This is a special day, not just because it's 4:20. It's because Derek Chauvin was found guilty, and we want to make sure that everybody gets a chance to say it here. So whenever you're ready, let me know. The mic is yours.
All right. That's for the Honey Drippers, though. Dear Nick, 17 poems later and your face isn't melted in between the nickel-sized gap between my thighs, so I'm under the impression that you're more scared than aware that I'll hurt you. Want to know how I own you? Own that dick? Kill me with it. Watch me smile and smoke you like any metaphor I put in my mouth. I mean, in these poems, I mean, baby, you'll never bust a nut alone without remembering me. Gleefully, drowning in my dimples, your kids in my mental. I'm struggling with whether I should keep cooking you meals or if this pussy gonna have you too fulfilled that next thing you know, you're calling me gluttony and loving you some hood ting, so he's waiting for me to get gully and suck him so he's gummy. And you know, I do see why they call you the Honey Dripper, but all this alkaline pussy got you looking agave syrup. I mean, it's the happy meal for me, and I come with a new toy, not the same one you got 10 times before, and you bored with your pack like a shovel, so bury me under that girthy waistline. What? You taking your time? It takes years to detox that pork in you. We can expedite this, you half saint, half broken hem. Let me reintroduce you to God after this pussy baptism and pussy power we pray. I mean, pussy powered by Gatorade. This pussy gonna take you places your past can never, like on the emotional roller coaster that got you fake buckled in, got you signing a waiver to come try me. Cyclone on a Coney Island toss you and you'll still come back. Crutches and all this pussy make the world go round, and now here we stand. Happy Nick, a dead man, because he couldn't swim through the tides in this pussy open casket. At least he got good skin out of there. Thank you.
I had to unmute myself because I was messing up. I was messing up. We was messing up. So Nick, aka Nick Nasty, if you're here, hopefully that you're on. I believe if you're here, make sure that you press 1 because I think that there was a challenge issued. It's been done on our network. You need to respond appropriately, but. Ah, yes, there he is. Ah, there he is. Okay. Yeah, there
ooh,
he is.
Ooh, ooh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There he is. Ah,
wow.
Ah. Yes, yes, Nick. She came onto the network and issued the challenge. It's real in the
oh,
field.
Oh, my God.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're about to witness something amazing. You have Danny from the Swinky Savages, who has issued a challenge to one of the head Honey Drippers, Nick, Austin, a.k.a. Nick Nasty, a.k.a. Freak Nick, a.k.a. Galactus, a.k.a. I Eat Whole Worlds, and your girl.
Freak Nick.
This is a little bit fun. This is a little bit fun for y'all. So you're going to have to just watch and see how this goes down because it's about to go down.
I mean,
so,
I did give some compliments. I mean, did I say he's scared and he's going to get hurt? Yes. But I did give some compliments in there.
You did give him some compliments. Don't forget, next week is the Honey Dripper podcast, Menage a Trois. For grown folks only, if you're 18, don't come around here. Make sure that you understand this is going to be serious business, collabos, trois, all kinds of things that are happening during the course of this thing. But while we're setting this up, Excuse me, Galactus, are you ready to answer this poem, sir?
Oh yeah, I'm definitely ready.
Okay. Hi, okay. So.
Hey.
So, Danny, I'm going to put you on mute while Nick does his piece. Okay. And when I do so, which is starting right now, the mic is yours, Nick.
Oh, yeah. All right. Let me... Okay, I had to add in a little bit. Okay, I got a poem for you. I guess this is the response piece. I'ma keep it a stack with you. I heard you like thick niggas who double as chiropractors, which is fortunate because I'm infatuated with your pancakes. So when I slide to the crib, I would love for you to give me a firm handshake, the adult version. I don't care how we started off because the result's certain. The finish line is you serving me a plate of that cake and watching me finish mine. The thinnest line exists between sex and fucking. Your energy about to match a teacher's salary next to nothing. You can expect a stuffing. No gobble gobble. Give me head that bobble till I wobble wobble. Got my legs feeling like rubber. Now I'm walking the way a dumb dumb do. I said my legs feeling like rubber. Like I just ate the gum gum fruit. Fucked around and made me unleash the Luffy. Cause this is one piece that'll leave you juicy. But it's my duty to tell you that you drive me wild. And it's gonna be a while before I reach for the handbrake. Because I'm intensely and immensely infatuated with your pancakes. So how about we have an all-day breakfast? I want to see how far I can slide this sausage in your mouth until your neck gets a little sore. Put your hands on my back and push it in just a little more. That's what I call a throat meal. And girl, you thicker than a bowl of oatmeal. Now hold still, because I'm about to dip this spoon in you and you know it's greasy. But before I can scramble your eggs, I put my hand on your legs so I can bend you over easy. You're beyond excited to feed me. Don't worry, I'ma let you. I expect you to be tender the same way I love my chicken, especially when it's honey fried. Now give your ass a grip, spread your lips and give it a lift up so I can be eye to eye with your sunny side. The only OJ I want is orgasm juice, and I need a gallon of it quick. I know you got talent. Let's see if you can keep your balance while you do the busted challenge on my dick. Now time for you to go savage on that shit, but make sure you keep it swanky. And don't worry about how good it is. There's no need to thank me. And also don't blame me after we share together a night. If the next week your friends see how you walking and they ask you, are you all right? Just remember, I'm infatuated with your pancake. So I want you to serve me that wop, and I don't want you to stop until my damn breaks. Please, baby, please give me that warm-ass pancake because I'm so damn infatuated. And you're going to be so damn glad I ate it when it's all said and done. Paint my whole head and come in return. I'll drizzle my syrup all over you until your back, your stomach, and your face are drenched in Aunt Jemima. Any woman who offers me a warm meal, I just can't decline her, especially if that woman is you. And you'll never hear me say I've had enough to eat, because we both know it wouldn't be true. And that's that piece.
I forgot I had to take myself off of what you call it.
Am I muted?
Wow. Wow. Yeah, no, you're muted now. I have you on with Nick.
Yo, what? This man is insane. Bury his head in. Lord have mercy. God damn. This nigga Nick is crazy. I love this. I always love that poem.
I believe that was an appropriate answer for the piece. So meantime, right, you're dueling, you know, swords or whatever. What we're gonna do is, Nick, I need you to hang out. In the meantime, in between time, we're gonna go back to the Swanky Savages. Everybody else that has a piece that's on, understand that we're gonna return to the conversation and then more pieces because we got a little bit more time to go. If you're listening currently right now, please understand that at 10:59,
the lady will cut you off. Make sure that you call in. The number is 319-527-6300. We just witnessed poems and replying between Danny and Nick Harnick from Honey Drippers. So, Nick, I'm going to put you back into the queue. Danny, right. Who's the next person coming up to the microphone? Stick around, bro. Stick around, Brody. Broski, Broham, Bruss, Freddy. All right. I'll put you in there. All right. Hold on. So, Danny, who's coming up next to the microphone?
All right. Next up, we're going to put Evanda.
Hey, Evanda, yeah, send it through. Hey, Evanda, what's going on? Hey, are you enjoying yourself?
Yes, and more yes. It is beautiful out here. The vibe has been wonderful. So, like, we with family. We miss y'all. But it's been good.
No, that's what's up. So do you have a piece for us this evening?
I do.
It's a little crazy over here. Don't mind us.
I was like, Taylor, if you grind, I'll roll up. She was like, fuck you mean? And then I turned around, she already had one rolled in her hand. I'm like, yes!
listen.
You
always,
I know
it's lit. I already know it's lit. As soon as she starts giving me energy, I already know it's lit. I know it's lit. All right, come on. We need to get to the pieces. We got stuff to do. So I need to get to the pieces, Rhonda.
All right. So this one's from my book. It's coming out. It's called Love's Nocturne. And I think this is a piece that will summarize me and the book together. It's called The Energy of a Star. Stars consume their own energy, always burning and in conflict with myself. But you all see the beauty, throwing out sparks and taking in the trauma, tuned into the sacral karma, the carnal Aries who was rejecting her spiritual fire, now consumed in the mire of my own demise. I may seem beautiful to you, but no one knows the fire that burns, the embers that fester under my skin and have crafted the phoenix within. She is sin, she is flame, she is love, she is the ocean and the ocean. She is the terminal vein in the womb, the force that blocks out the moon, the smoke that eternally consumes, and now she will assume her place in the ancestral alignment, in time to reclaim her assignment, destruction of the silent. That's that piece. Woo! Good morning.
Oh, that's what's up. Hold on. Oh, that's what's up. I thought I muted myself. I was like, okay, good. I'm doing good. All right, shout out to, oh, crap. They just dropped. Hold on, jeez. We're going to go get them back in the meantime, between time. They're having totally so much fun right now. So in the meantime, in between time, while we're waiting, Poetic, do you have a piece you'd like to share? Hold on.
I have a piece I'd like to share. Yep. Okay. This piece is called Sinful Sensually. I need you to taste the soul of my semen. Make the devil forget that he is a heathen. While we are not devil worshippers, I will curse him as I worship her. It will be the rolling of her eyes in the back of her head as she enjoys swallowing my God-given nectar, but will beg. Beg me to give her so much more. Because of what's in store. As I become her king and she enjoys the inner workings of my temple and she chooses to make my soul an example, I yearn for the moment she recites me like her favorite scripture, revealing a sinful nature that I as her king will desire to feel not just her proverb hands, but the virtuously inner workings of her thighs and give me more than something he can feel. It will be the eruption of the volcanic flow turning me into hard steel. Just as she continues to use her tongue to massage and dine on her new favorite dessert, becoming a unsung hero. Giving me a new spiritual revelation where I need an evaluation of just how good her airway tunnel will hold my thickness before I enter her birth canal. I mean, my favorite psalm will be in translation while she speaks in her heavenly language with every verse dictation soothing and sucking and sloping sounds. With her hands and knees on the ground, she's showing me what submission really looks like. And tonight, as my queen has removed her crown, I just might look down upon her eyes, gazing into mine as she sips my liquids like fine wine. The mind screams internally. The body reacts as she is possessed by divinity, proud to say I'm hers. But she knows the path I take to get into her. I mean to enter her. No, I mean get deep into her. The judgment seat is reserved. And in our court, the rose petals and waterfalls are jealous at her fluent, curved body that is pleased just by me. And my feast of her in our Garden of Eden will be better than any sin in Sodom and Gomorrah, except we won't look back, just look from within as we come to a pleasurable sigh. And that's that piece.
Y'all give it up for Van Meadows, killing his piece, rocking out. We're going to return to the Swanky in a second, but if you enjoyed that, please. La Perla Negra and Miss Gordon, did you enjoy that piece?
Immensely.
Good. Very, very good. So, La Perla Negra, do you have a piece for us that you'd like to share?
Yeah, mine is not. Yeah, well, I could read something.
You could do anything. It doesn't matter. Matter of fact, let me make sure I'll be in Danny's mic. So she's co-hosting with me at the same time. So Danny, are you there? Danny?
We're here. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. It was like a second. Okay, so La Perla Negra, the mic is yours whenever you're ready.
All right, thank you. I call this the 14th Amendment. Where did they get the idea that all men are created equally, when it clearly isn't that way? What happened to just simply saying humanity deserves a chance and treat all of us equal? At least that would have included every single one of us. I mean, who comes up with this stuff and then creates all kinds of labels to keep us separated, judging us by gender, by size, by geographical location, by shape? And oh man, here comes their favorite shade of skin we're born in. That's their favorite to attack. Especially the fine, young, potentially great, those destined for making phenomenal change towards the betterment of mankind. Those are the ones they like to distort and destroy. They try and cheat us, and when they can't cheat it out of us, they try and beat us. And when they can't beat it out of us, they shoot. Because shooting seems to just end it all for them temporarily, making us feel there's no hope in sight, but we know better, so you can't kill hope. I'm not singling anyone out in particular, except for those who it may apply to. But the funny thing is, it may apply to someone that you know, too. Really ain't that funny when you think about it, huh? Now, I'm talking about a particular mental space, the part that harbors hate, because they tend to our medical needs. They stand on corners. They work in offices. Even some of your homes harbor that destructive hate. And all this went wrong because we tried to take God out of the equation. Tried to place him where we thought he'd fit best, just to suit our ego. Caused all that chaos and hide behind, we're saved by grace. See, you can't make, can't replace or destroy God. He's always been here, everywhere. He is the creator, the one who creates. Where's the love, y'all? Please. All of this jealousy and violence and greed and hate, it has got to stop. Because all that it does is take. That's it.
Shout out to La Perla Negra for that piece.
Thank
lovely.
You.
And it needs
Thank
to stop.
You.
All right. Ms. Gordon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ms. Gordon, did you have a piece for us?
Not tonight. I am going to enjoy and listen.
Okay. All right. So we're going to go to Joe, the verbal mind dancer. Joe, do you have a piece for us this evening? Before we return back
yes,
to the Swinky Savages. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I do have a piece for you, so I'm going to do that. I changed my program a little bit, so here we go. This is called Linguistic. On the subject of sex, who wins? Can hours of linguistic titillation override a heart-pounding 30-minute thrill ride? Can words be more powerful than the thrust of flesh? If one could express what they'll do to you in a manner which can achieve satisfaction, and one can physically do the same, who wins? Said wrong, my words get twisted. The logistics of linguistics have me balling up my fist, and it's just the gist of this love affair. I'm sitting here, she's over there, all this air. We can't share the joys of mingled words. Voices heard complacent to many. We don't have any time for any time, not any. I'm tired, so tired, but I'm so wired because I know I'm inspired by her. My engine is fired by her. My heart is desired by her. Will the misunderstanding of a few words spell the end of my linguistic whims? I began to express my interest in her. I wanted to experience some transgressions with her. I played the voice with deep, hard sensuality, making it known with my tone what I wanted to do physically. It was touch and go at first. Then that warm, sensual glow grew thirst. I was a gentleman. She was a freak. She turned mild. I became a beast. I laid her on the bed and began to massage her legs. I placed my palm on the arch of her foot, my finger between her toes. I ran my hands up and down her calves. I rubbed, pulled, caressed, and lulled her into parting. I gazed upon her glistening and kissed my way up. I got all religious and spoke in tongue. I became a Mother Goose rhyme and stuck in my thumb. I was hornier than Jack. And when I pressed her legs back, I got feng shui with it, rearranging her frame of mind. I didn't stop. I couldn't talk. Then she hopped to her knees. I didn't balk. I gave it all. She gave my nads a squeeze. She engulfed me and began to hum her own tune. Stealthily, I avoided coming too soon. I disappeared and reappeared soon. I felt her vocabulary. I went deep in her thesaurus. I never took a language course, but the way she was speaking, believe me, it rose at a stone. It was time to go prone. I laid with her. I mated with her orgasmic waves. I listened to her octave range. High C was the key she screamed in. I hit it constantly and reamed in. She went off the scale when I hit that tail, and though she was impaled, she threw it back and whispered wails and back, so rolled to tears. There was no let up as we got our sweat up. She rose up and shook those D cups. I traced the moisture like bees hunt for honey. With the lasting deep caress, our voices were muted, but the language we spoke was undisputed. Until we speak again, let us speak in love.
I won't fuck you dirty. Fuck all this flirty in your window, those pseudo hints meant to make you wonder. I want thunder. The banging of thighs, cries, and sighs. I want claw marks on my back. Handprints on your ass. Welts and bruises. I want excuses when you call up the next day. You can just tell your boss you enjoyed rough sex play. I want you slutty fuck nice. I want ass fuck you twice. Tell me to nut it and I want to be corrupting it when I'm fucking it. Watch you strut in ridiculously high heels. I want to hear glass shattering squeals. I want to slap you silly. Use that club called Billy. I'm going to hide the handle to your insides and mangle. I want the nastiest you. This is way past calling you boo. I want your legs so rubber I have to carry you. But if you say stop, I will. Do we have a deal? You get on your knees and earn your thrill. Let me hear you say do what you will. Say it, goddamn it, or test this backhanded slap. Now fuck that. And where's my strap? I'm going to beat you. Going to treat you like my slut to be. And in my mastery, you'll learn to see. I know what you need to set your spirit free. I'm going to fuck you dirty. I want to hear you say, hurt me, please, daddy. Work me now. Grab a handful and jerk me. I don't have time for a romantic interlude. Leave that bullshit for that mind-dancing dude. I'm Romeo Coldplay, crude and smooth. Now where's that fucking lube? Because I ain't through. I'm going to bend you over, watch you hold it open. Then I'm going to start choking. When you gasp for that last breath, I feel your nest again. And you know Romeo was back there getting it in. And that's my piece. Thank you.
That was a dope piece.
Thank you.
Yeah, mute what up, you again. Damn it. I'll be muting myself. All right, sorry. I was like, that was a super dope piece. Crazy. I was muting myself. Yo, thank you, Joe, for returning to the hidden. And I went back. Danny, are you ready? Who do we have coming up next to the microphone, Danny?
We have Taylor Tales in the building.
Taylor Tales, what up, gang, gang? What's good?
What up, gang? What up?
What up?
All right, y'all. Got this piece for y'all. Got this nice piece for y'all. Hold on. Here we go. My biggest fan lives down south. The words I cast out my mouth, spells that have him thinking about, my tales and poetry trail his routes. Between his legs beautifully sprout, aching to bathe in my honey spout. But he's taking, so I sit this out, trying to figure out the equation. I'm gonna play like reasonable doubts, but I have no reason to doubt. His J will give me Z's, putting me in a deep sleep. Nah, I won't be counting sheep, but the amount of times I breach, because that curve has the best reach. Sorry, distracted. Let me not preach. He has a girlfriend. For the life of me, I don't understand. I mean, I understand the plan to build, connect, love, be a better man. But I'm also a fan of a fan. No, not like Stan, but I'll go nuts. No Eminem, more like a diss track by Eminem anyway. Anyway, I won't sit and pretend like we're not lovers and friends, but lovers like spiritually and mentally. Remember his girl. I don't move unethically, but I'm stimulated essentially by his pen and his poetry. Creating metaphoric orgies and master of his artistry, slave to his poetry and infatuated with his creativity. I have to visit Tallahassee, but I won't cross that boundary. I do hope for prosperity, but if not, he better get at me. That's that piece.
Well. I see that there's other stuff that's going on where people want to suddenly visit Florida.
No, she didn't walk away humming.
Yes, she did. She did walk away humming.
Wow.
She did.
Wow.
She did that.
Wow.
She definitely did that.
Writing,
Nick, did you hear the piece, Nick? Did you hear the piece?
I heard the piece.
Make sure
y'all
download Orange Flow, streaming on all platforms.
Yes. Make sure you get Orange Float by Taylor Tales on every platform. Dope piece. And she also does handcrafted tales of erotica for you. If you have a tale that you need to get done, holler at Taylor Tales. She will write for you. She will write, and she writes in all genres of erotica. Make sure that you check her out. Ooh. See her work, see what she does. She rocks out. Trust me. So Taylor, who's on it? Taylor or Danny?
Ooh, who's it on next? Play some music. Okay, Danny says she wants you to play a song that you feel connected to that poem.
That feel connected to that poem? Really? Are you really asking me this question? Really? Me? Of all people? All right, but before we got to reset the room and make sure that we have, because we got a lot of people here that we have to make sure that we get to tonight. If you are listening right now, you have approximately 90 seconds to call in before you are cut off by the streaming here, because the lady at Blog Talk doesn't play that shit. That's what she does. Now, you have to call. That number is 319-527-6300. Again, I repeat, call that number. 319-527-6300. I apologize if you are sending me messages and I am not paying attention to them because I'm caught up in the poetry. It's happening. And then we're going to go back to the conversation. Shout out to the Swanky Savages. Shout out to Wendell, Poetic, La Perla Negra, Ms. Tanya Gordon, Joe the Verbal Mind Dancer, Blaze, Nick Nasty, T. LaChelle. Everybody shout out T. LaChelle because she's really updating our thing and she's making sure that all these poets and everybody else is being represented on the page. If you can get to the page, make sure you check out the questions that's happening. Shout out to everybody that's listening. Shout out to Zanis. Oh wait, and of course we have the boss man in the building, Mr. For Real, the poet himself. Big off of Larry Roddick. If he's ready, he'll just hit one, and we'll bring him through so he can say some words. But you got 10 seconds. 319-527-6300. That's what you got. And as soon as we get past the Blog Talk lady, which will be in 1, 2, 1, if you're within the sound of my voice, you have now made it to overtime where we consider it after dark and we talk whatever we're going to talk and we're going to say whatever we're going to say and everything else is going to happen. We're here with the Swanky Savages as well as people from the Epiphany Radio Universe, War Council. Everybody's mixed in together and we're going to have a conversation after this. But we're going to go to the next poet after I play a song that I was challenged to play like it was a hard thing. But we're just going to rock out and play some quick music for that. Now, here's the thing. I could play something that's crazy, or I can play something even crazier. But, you know, let's just do 30 seconds of this. Since Taylor wants to come in here and make it all sexy for people and just bring the mood and environment, and we're all grown, so we're just going to put some grown music on real quick, get you all ready, get you set.
Four bad chicks in the middle of the street. Roll right up and they all hopped in. Now we in the sand having lunch on me. Told a girl don't let your pee get wet. We about to grab some drinks and head to my condo. You could be my weekend guest. I'm in a hit, so I know we about to get started. One thing led to the next. Now she got her hands all over my body. I ain't tryna stop. Thank you.
Okay. Enough of that. All right, Taylor.
Lord have mercy.
We had to put a little, get it real sexy for y'all. All right, listen. I make no promises. I'm going to sit with the HD fam. We're going to come up with a playlist for next week. I expect it to be messy. I know Mosaic's like, she's like, I got a whole playlist. So we're going to synthesize a list of everybody with their pieces. Nick, you got to help me with this. You know, matter of fact, sidebar, you know, Nick, I know you're going to pick some because, you know, I trust you. We got to play some stuff that's going to be crazy, so we got to make sure it's all good. Now, in the meantime, in between time, Darrenny, who's the next poet up?
Hi, we got Raven here. I'm
confused. Yes. Send Raven. Send the homie. That's the homie. That's the homie.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I got a piece, y'all. I do have a piece.
All right. Everybody, this is Raven, a.k.a. Nature, a.k.a. Mystique. Swanky Savage,
AKA,
Honey Dripper.
We're so. Okay.
World-class badass and everything. Let's go. So what you got for us, Raven?
All right, thank you. All right, so I'm going to start. Potter my wand, made of whirling willow, willing wonders to manifest. My magic's magnificent, my mother's maleficent. Mirror me, mother's twin, trauma-twisting twilight zone, sneaking dusty Zane books, playing xylophone, helping me catch disease to sleep where I dream in zebra lines, licking luscious lips, leading to sensual, seductress, sorceress, sexy, seducing satisfaction, feeling scars, Scarborough Boulevard where I got my first car, coasting, cruising, coaching, catching creative thoughts as I drive, daydreaming, day speeding, dazzling sunlight, de donde eres, Boricán y República Dominicana, New Yorican diva, dandara, boss, baby, blessed, binging big books, bookshelves, bliss, bewilderment, bold stories, signaling left brain, right brain, sapiosexual, stay a student, study studiously, senses stirring, signaling sigils, speaking spells, simple saying sounds, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, superwoman, hold this, thoughts, thick thighs, throbbing, throat, top, tease, tongue, tantalizing, titties, topless, tainted red, rendezvous, raving, raven, respectfully raging, road open, optimistic, opportunistic, opposite, opposition, purpose, present, never missing. Come on.
I'm just gonna put a whole goddamn on that. I've never heard that style of poetry from you before, Raven. I'm a little fucked up. Anyway, Nick, your opinion on it?
Oh, Flynn already knows. Like, I love her poetry. That was bars. That was heat. But I mean, that's what aquas do. So I expected nothing less.
Okay. Thank you, Flynn.
All right. Because I'm at the point where it's happened. I'm over everybody's night, so everybody can get flowers. Everybody can talk. Everybody can comment. I know Wendell has been the first time you've actually been in an environment with us doing poetry and stuff like that. So I needed to get your opinion on these poems real quick.
Wendell? Hey man. Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. I've been enjoying every last one of them, man. This is a group of supremely talented beings, and it's really dope being on the receiving end of their gifting, and being blessed by the offerings. So by listening to y'all, it has been elevating me to a different mental state. So I'm thankful. I was over here writing something while we were having the conversation. It's definitely not erotic, but it was just some of my musing. And so y'all got a very inspirational gift here, and that when that energy starts flowing, you can't help but be affected by it. So mm-hmm. Blessing.
That's what's up.
Thank you. Appreciate
you. That's what's up. Van Meadows.
These poets,
I know Van heard me.
Yeah, I'm here. These poets are amazing.
I loved what she just did with that last piece. Oh, man, the tongue twisters, and then when she did it in a different language. Oh, my God. But everybody was fire. Everybody was fire. I love it. I love it.
That's what I'm talking about. Joe?
Thank you.
Joe, did you have any flowers you wanted to give?
Oh, my God.
Oh, he wasn't. Not, yeah. Well, anyway, we're going to move forward.
Hello?
All right. So, yeah, Joe. Yeah, hello? I was going to ask you. I said, can you hear me? Joe.
Yes, I can. Joe,
can
you hear me? Yes.
All right. I said, I was wondering if you heard the poem, if you had any flowers you wanted to give.
Oh, absolutely, man. Oh, man. You know, shout out to the young folks, man, doing that thing. I'm just thoroughly impressed. The last young lady just, that was amazing. That was amazing use of use of words. It was beautiful. I love it.
Thank y'all. Thank you. All
right.
All your friends. All
right, so. You know, T. Michelle just posted, and if you go to the event page, she said, Divine Nature, Raven Marte said she's swanky savage, but she's dripping honey. What do you think, Mojave? And she put a picture of Denzel grabbing his chin. Hilarious. All right, so Danny, who we got next coming to the microphone?
Okay,
Let I got this one. I got the introduction.
I think this is the first time it goes on Epiphany Radio too.
It's the second time.
It's the second time. But good people. Undisputably one of the dopest poets that you might not have heard of, but you will understand them after they finish this piece because they are that fucking incredible. So let me introduce you to So Said It. So you ready?
All right, I'm ready.
All right, the mic is yours.
All right. Look at me. Look at me and don't break the gaze. I can't keep going on in these ways, this haze you continue to promote. Bucking like a stallion and calling yourself the goat, I need peace, not pieces of you. Because I've already used all of my tape and my glue just ain't strong enough for what we're trying to accomplish. You stormed into my museum and ignored the do not touch sign. You broke each glass case and pretended you were just standing in line. What am I worth? To be small, to be stalled, to be considered nothing at all, to be felt, to have wept, to receive no respect. Leaning on chakras and doctors, jamming my pen to this paper, still letting you jam me up, because somehow I won't escape you. Turn my fantasy into fable, my fact into fiction with your gaslights. You fuck with my head and kiss me in the morning like you don't remember what happened last night. If existing means to stand still while you hardly have the strength to stand tall, I don't want to. If existing means crying out to a plethora of ears while you never truly being heard at all, I don't want to. If I've existed this whole time and you never really saw me, what makes you think I want to now? Please look at me. I'm over here. Please look at me. I'm over there. Please fucking look at me. Gaining stress and losing hair, yo, look at me. And remember this moment. Because I'm no longer interested in just existing. This daddy of yours needs a fucking break. This provider and protector's heart is at stake. This good love can no longer make anything shake. A nigga not even trying to roll over for the wake and bake. Yo, look at me. I'm more than a physical existence, working to serve the masses, never offering resistance because that was all I knew. But it got me nothing. Because even after all this, you can't even truly see me when you look at me. I got another one if we light on the mic tonight.
Damn.
All right. Mirroring me, I'd have to call my stuttering the cracks. not in terms of impediment of speech, but the stutter in my step, it's like I don't want to catch a break. Because although I know the monster of your ego, I still stay. Bending and shifting in ways my soul cannot, I have become all that I just won't be. This fractured ego of my own has drowned me in complication. No twist of words because it's clearer than blue skies on an island day. Since I could remember us, I've known this to be tug of ego. With you dragging me across the floor, my unwillingness to just let go of the fucking rope because I am not weak, but the tugging is making me. It's making me into a whole different beast. Using this mud as my plaster, I become all love, no ego, no fractures. I can smell the earth between my nerves. I'm growing roots in places I didn't know I needed to be grounded, opening my lungs to the ears of the wind. My songs carry me through this wildness, humming to the beat of my anxiety, striding to the strum of my, some things are worth your attention and some are not. Leaning and rocking to the what's love got to do with it when I know my jingle won't jangle if my heart don't sing. That's how seasoned my soul is. There's no Telfar, no Needy, no Birkin that makes me choosy. Loving truly has taught me to love well, but love loosely. Can't squeeze too tight, so my cracks will consume me. It's either reborn from the earth or reborn from a two-piece. I can't swing when I'm blinded by the one who was supposed to choose me. What the fuck is an ego when you're living in 2D? Where is the silence when the water is too deep? Who's really loving me when your ego keeps me at your feet, fractured and awaiting a major breakthrough? Boom.
Damn.
Damn. Oh, that message.
I appreciate it.
Brilliant. Haven't heard nothing that good in ages. Pure genius.
I appreciate it.
What would you like to hear next, Mahavi?
Please stop telling my stories. Whew, jeez. Serious. Yo, you are.
Word. Word.
Mm.
Now that's poetry.
Yeah, baby.
Yes.
Killing me.
Clap, dap, and fingers. Snap.
Y'all got me on an emotional roller coaster. We went from political to sex to personal. Wow. Y'all got me going up and down. Mm-mm-mm. It's good, though.
Wow.
It's good.
Yeah, it is.
Don't stop now, y'all. Somebody.
Right, Mahavi, you got what?
Okay, Javi, where you at? You muted again, man.
I am muted. I'm talking crazy, and I muted myself. Damn it.
Well,
damn it.
I was about to jump.
Damn it, man.
I was like, I'm sitting here talking crazy. Like, I swear I'm being heard. I was like, y'all give it up for so blah, blah, blah. Yo, Danielle. And the funny thing is, I said, Danielle just starts talking. I didn't even talk to her because I was on mute. That's weird.
That's weird.
Wavelength. Wave motherfucking length.
That's what it is.
Wavelength. Like we just be on like wavelength all the time. So I was crazy bragging about Soul, right? I was crazy talking, right? I was like, yo, she's like, Mahavi, you gonna stop telling my story? So I swear she talking. I swear they talking to me right now. So I'm like, all right. Soul is talking to me because I was like, so I said, Soul got the chemistry kit in the corner with the Acme bombs, and nobody know. I'm like, listen, they about to blow up the world. You gotta pay attention. You gotta bring that out to light. Let everybody know how dope. So is like crazy, crazy, superbly, incredibly dope. But not only that, her experience and her wisdom, I mean, and their wisdom actually really says things. Like that's the reason why I asked them to come on War Council, because, like, the wisdom of who they are as a person is actually amazing. But the poetry is on a whole nother level. So you hear me, right?
I can hear you. I really appreciate it.
So as I'm always happy to have you spit. you know, because your style is very unique. Like, it's incredibly unique, but so dope and well layered, and you can feel everything. So it's like you're, it's almost like, you know how somebody is like dancing with you. So someone dancing with you and they know how to put the spin in and dip you, you know, that's how you be doing what you're supposed to.
Yes.
I appreciate that.
All right. So who's behind you?
We got Yvonda, we got Taylor. Yeah. The jet lag is killing.
I know. Yeah, I know y'all had the jet lag. Everything else is going on. So this is what I'm going to do, right? Because we can't be on here forever, and it is a school night, and I wanted to make sure. But I know we got caught up late. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to run through the list real quick. I'm going to find out everything else is going on. I'm going to ask Zanice if we can do the piece that we wrote, because I think, you know, I definitely want to have it on my podcast so I can have it for my personal usage. So Zanice, if you hear me and you're with it, hit one so we can bring you up so we can get to the piece. I know Blaze probably has a piece, but let me ask him before we close out. Blaze. Please.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. That was kind of quick. I didn't expect to be on that list.
Okay. Listen. So, this is what we're gonna do. All right. We're gonna do a nice little speed round. We're gonna get through. Matter of fact, let me ask. So we ask Big Larry Maddox if he has something to say. You know, because he got a Russell Simmons situation. This is his network. It's a For Real Entertainment Network, brought to you by Raw Links. You know, why be average when you can be raw? How to do that. See, I did that. It was nice. And then we also have to talk about what's going to go on for the week. That's what we're going to do. So, matter of fact, let's run it that way. Mr. Van Meadows, can you tell us what's happening on Epiphany Radio Universe this week?
Absolutely. It'd be my pleasure, bro. Ladies and gentlemen, join Epiphany Radio tomorrow night for the Love Zone with your host, Ms. VIP and La Pearl La Negra. Thursday night, y'all, is the Get Down with your host, J. Rob, the Wise Son, and yours truly, Poetic. Friday night is Renaissance Poetry with your host, Keith Eric. Saturday night, y'all, is Poetic Therapy with Stan the Man Phillips and La Pearl La Negra. Sunday night, the Inspiration Factory with Paul Sampson, a.k.a. Divine Inspiration, and yours truly, Poetic. Monday night, y'all, is the Soul Cafe with the CEO himself, author Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real, the Poet Douglas. La Pearl La Negra, essentially Zanice, and yours truly, Poetic. And then we're right back here Tuesday. Oh, God, y'all. Tuesday with Mojave and the Honey Drippers. Man, y'all not going to want to miss these hot shows. The lineup is thick. Javi, back to you.
Thank you, good sir. I have a great appreciation for you, sir.
Pleasure, bro.
That works for me. Thank you very much. So as you know, it's a full schedule of everything that's going to go on. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to loop around, right? We're going to loop around. So I'm going to send Nick Nasty. Are you prepared?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. What's up?
All right, so I need you to be the lead off in the speed round. So do what you do, and we're going to loop around. We're going to move around, and we're going to popcorn this joint while I get ready for this other thing. So whenever you're ready, the mic is yours.
Okay, cool. That's a quick little thing. Let me do... All right, said this right quick. In honor of the holiday today, 420. Someone once told me the grass is much greener on the other side. But that's true. And everybody up in heaven must be rolling up that good shit. And not only the ones that I'm good with, they all on that hood shit. You know only loud is allowed in the clouds. How you think we be getting fogged? See, most of y'all got God backwards. No wonder y'all be getting dogs. I don't know about y'all God, but my God not only loves weed, but he smokes that shit. Why else do you think he spoke to Moses from a burning bush? Because he wanted him to toke that shit. And you know the Garden of Eden probably had some marijuana plants.
Adam and Eve were getting high for hours. How can anyone claim this lettuce belongs to the devil when everyone calls God the higher power? Nobody should ever question if his pack good. And didn't his son carry a cross made from pine through the streets on his spine, which means Jesus was the first man to carry a backwood. And then he made Pontius Pilate feel like such a clown because he died on it and came back to life, which means he took that backwood and he busted down. Talk about being cross-faded. I mean, holy smokes, it's not blasphemy, it's only jokes. This poem won't have any effect on my soul's divinity, because I got weed, I got a lighter, and I got papers. That's the Holy Trinity. How can this be considered sinning when even in the beginning God said, let there be light? How do we know he wasn't talking about a pipe? And how can what goes into a bomb be considered wrong when it comes from God's green earth? I promise I've seen worse. Murder, robbery, arson, assault, but you want to place all the fault of mankind's demise on weed? If you're on the hunt to get rid of blunts because you think some bud needs to be judged, I think you need to doubt it. My life ain't no swisher, so ain't shit sweet about it. It's a jungle out there. Living on earth is a wild life. Every single day I am black. I don't know what it means to have a mild night. Shit, stay spicy. My white friends might not know no racist, but they might be, so I stay highly favored to avoid feeling down. Because the moments when I'm floating are the only times I feel the ground. When my world is breaking down, breaking something down is my way of staying intact. And I only get faded to avoid fading to black. Depression can be a disease, and marijuana can be the medicine. At the very least, when I'm feeling my very least, a good blunt can be a sedative. When my time comes in the rotation to puff, puff, pass away, you won't catch me being negative. On the contrary, you'll notice that in my very last moments, I'll probably be seen with laughter. For though my body may be rolled up and buried beneath the grass, my spirit is headed to greener pastures. And that's that piece.
Unmute yourself, Hal.
Crapper. You're the only person who can catch my wavelength. All right, let's give a shout out. Let's give a round of applause for Nick Nasty. 420.
Yeah.
420.
Oh,
bro. All right.
Sit, bro.
God's
bro.
Green lettuce. God's
okay.
Green lettuce.
The Holy Trinity.
It's green lettuce for me.
Trinity.
The Holy Trinity.
The
yeah.
Green lettuce for me.
Stand right
okay.
The highest power.
Stand right
I know
there.
That's right. I ain't mad at you. For real, though.
All
right. I'm not mad at you.
So we're going to go to Blaze. Blaze, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. Whenever you're ready, the mic is yours.
Yo, I feel a great disadvantage and the advantage taken within my approach. Taking note that your statue's physique warms my soul diabolically. Although I was allowed to meet with an angel, you, inside of she, I tried to be thorough like I had some wits about that inside of me, but excuse me, still trying to get over this COVID. Meet with an angel, you, inside of she, I tried to be thorough like I had some wits about and inside of me, but was falling to pieces, still trying to keep shit together, a whole mess in front of the most cold, hottest, I guess, electrified lava goddesses. The jockeys are just making me feel like the most creative novelist turned lobbyist. I mean, looking at you makes me think of Guatemala's best. Pina colada guava sex with a lot of your mini chocolates and sloppiness from my epiglottis got a lot of the bottom drip from your tonginess, which switched to my esophagus and consumed in my stomach. Yes. Anna, you have become a problem quick. I now know I need to stop this shit, but really, I can truly say that I've never witnessed an exotic flower smile with such glee. And to have experienced such an event, I can furthermore inform you on the many levels that you touched me. You are this intergalactic madness, this spastic madness that just fluttered by as an exotic black butterfly, causing my gut to shy away from damn near praising you. You had this fervent incandescence, this effervescent efflorescence when I first gazed at you. I could see the rays in you, and I can see myself uplift and begin raising you, and upon your return, maybe, baby boo, you can show me the signs of obeying you. Not mentally, I'd like to lay and play in you. And this might be stepping out of line, but I must say you look tasty, too. I mean, what can I say? It's true. Let's walk this land while holding hands on this beyond beautiful day so blue. May I have your consent to oil your mind verbally as if this were a massage for a body, the nerve of me, with thoughts and God that got me sick just thinking about the switch of your hips. But that's okay. You can be my hotty-totty. Something ungodly. My apologies. I have no idea what just got inside, but respectfully, without questioning, I want you to know that you can rest in me, fully aware that you're protected, seeing for each and every time that you have even the slightest inkling that you need me. I want to be your favorite grace and the patient between me. You feed me joy and just mere senses of enthronement. Silly me, in the soliloquy of even the slightest thought of your shadow silhouette, it feels my jaws bent, throw caution into the wind. You've got my every thought in full suspend, airborne. You are a rare thorn that has pricked me, but somehow I'm immune to it. I feel the warmth of your undulating pulse, and in the heat of the night, I really feel like the moon knew it. I know for sure that I want to taste the slow-mo of your go, no, got me woke, though, like no-dough due to the intake of your consumed fluids. Blew it out of proportion when I got up in them perfumed juices. At first, I felt like a presumed nuisance. Now I know of its assumed usage. Your sugar walls is good to crawl. I feel like I just took a loss because not only you the boss, babe, I fall and pray to you who have done nothing really but about you. About you, I can go on all day. Baby, love you, go on all day. Blaze, and peace.
Can I give a round of applause for Blaze? Blaze on the mic.
Why, yeah.
Yo.
My bro. Dope piece, bro.
That's a lower added. Wait. For real?
For real, bro? Yeah, good guy.
Whoa.
That's
for real.
He partied, bro.
For real. Huh?
Right?
We're just going to put that off to the side until he's ready. He's ready to go. All right. So I want to hear these musings by Wendell. So we're going to go to Wendell. Wendell.
Yes, sir.
All right, sir. The mic is yours for your musings, sir.
Okay. All right. There's a little short piece called it Blind Eyes. So, there are blind eyes praying for sight and insight, for the grace and space to see what eludes and what hides behind eyelids. Soft gelatin orbs with brown shutters and concave lenses forever closed while sky blue frames look down from lofty seats to the lowly streets, where people bring picket signs to the gunfight of justice, only to find themselves outmanned and underarmed. Raising black hands elicit more fear than black guns raised by white hands wearing gold badges on blue shirts. Black souls flee prone bodies while knees press on necks
guns get mistaken for tasers, body cams record, and doubt remains unreasonable. Pray that the hope you want us to keep alive doesn't surrender its last breath under the weight of injustice as Lady Liberty struggles to preserve the virtue that Uncle Sam constantly tries to ravage. Fuck you, savage, looking through blind eyes. And that's my piece.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's crazy, because he wrote it on the spot. So, Van, how you feel about that?
Yo. Bro, that was dope for what he put together in that short period of time. That was a beautiful musing, my brother. Dope, right?
Yo, I absolutely loved it. And not only, yo, listen, not only, because you got the smooth, we got to do something about brothers with super smooth voices, but when they be saying the same thing, it's like a double pack punch, like you get punched on both sides, you're getting hit with the right and then the left, and at the same time, you can't really block both, you're just getting hit, that's all there is to it. But, yo, it's super amazing. How you actually sat down and wrote. It feels like you just had that piece for years. And maybe it's the wisdom of your soul that comes through your words when you speak. But that's how it feels. Like, it doesn't feel like you just wrote that. It feels like you actually had this, like you were sitting on it for a mean minute. You know, Danielle, what do you think?
Oh, most definitely. I agree with what you just said, and you rocked that piece. That was awesome. And you just, you know, the talent up in here. That piece was awesome.
That's super awesome. And this is the first time I heard him reading a piece too, which is actually pretty amazing. But, you know, what I want to do is also I want to return to Swanky real quick before we go to everything else, because we definitely got to do some stuff. Narani, are you there?
We here. We in the kitchen cooking. We here. We craving.
Y'all, wait a second. Are y'all cooking or are y'all infusing?
We really been cooking, okay? Cook.
I'm just saying.
And we've been doing all the things. We've been doing all the things, but we definitely cooking for real.
All right, y'all doing all the things. I got you. Is there anybody else who'd like to share before we move on? Because I'm about to end this real soon. It's school night. You know how it is. Is there anybody else who want to share a poem?
Yes, we have one more person. It's going to be either me or Taylor. No? Okay. All right. Do you have any requests, Mojave, from me?
You said what?
Who's like, Vonda? No, it's okay. Okay, we're going to let Vonda go. Vonda's going to close it out for us.
All right, bet.
Okay, here she goes.
Hey.
Yay, Vonda. All right, you got a piece for us? You ready to close it out for the Swanky? For Swanky?
Yes, here we go. It's Footprints in the Sand. A true vision of the sun, yet a shadow in the midst. How beautiful she sits. The sand dancing between our toes. The waves are inviting as the sun is delighting. Didn't expect this weekend to get to this. Such intimacy captured in a glimpse. With her hair turned ways to the wind, turned to me and handed me her scissors. See, she's a creative one. Bag lady to some, but in those bags are gifts galore, and her smile indulges me even more. She looked at me with an intense stare and said, "I want you, sir, to cut my hair." A moment passed as I pondered her odd request in a daze, but she never once broke her gaze. "I'm going natural. See all this new growth?" She giggled affectionately as she fluffed her hair passionately. "With you, I sense new beginnings. new breath, new life thriving. But my hair, it's processed and dying. I want us to move forward to more than just friends. So please cut away all the dead ends. Though I know nothing of cutting hair, her faith in me, her face, her eyes, I must fulfill her prophecy over our lives. Sitting here wrapped in my arms, she sighed deeply, cradled to my heart. I didn't really even know where to start, and maybe she could tell. She gave me the simplest clue and said, let God guide you. Is this the lesson? Watching this woman yield to my hand, which is yielded to his from above, I simply fell in love. My second.
Okay. Hello.
Javi, unmute yourself, man.
Okay.
Damn it. This is like the 12th time, yo. What the hell? What is going on? Like, this is just high comedy itself, all right? So, yay, Vonda, yay for the peace, yay for the peace, everybody. Give flowers, give a round of applause, quick, you know?
Yeah, beautiful peace.
Absolutely, clap, beautiful.
Yeah.
Love y'all.
All right, so it's just crazy. I got music in the background. This is nuts. All right, hold on. So, all right, real quick, fast, in a hurry. Where did I go? Oh, there we are. All right, so I'm trying to see. Where did he go? He broke out? Wait a second. So, wait, did For Real break out? I think For Real broke out. All right, well, listen. All right, so here's what we're going to do. He said, oh. Yeah, his call dropped. That's what he said. He said his call dropped. So he said he can't hear anything because he just wrote me. All right. So essentially, that would be bad. I got to open her mic. All right. Essentially, Zanis, are you there?
I'm here.
Are you there?
Hey.
Okay.
I'm here.
All right. So we're going to work on this collabo. Real quick, we did it Monday. You know, we just started it, so we're gonna do it, and we're gonna close out the show with that, and we're gonna get you guys ready for next week, which is will be the Honey Drippers Menage a Trois, and then the next one will be Thick, the celebration of full figured women and body positivity through poetry.
Hi.
We'll be doing that on May 4th, and it's my birthday show, so I need everybody to get on here and be silly and act crazy and all that good stuff. But yes, we will be celebrating this through poetry, and I have a couple of people coming through as lead off poets. I have a poet, Thundercat. She's gonna come in here and do some things. I got a few people coming in here to do some things with some poetry. It's gonna be dope. It's gonna be nice. But after that, we're definitely doing Toxic Part 2, Toxic Supermen, Men's Pain. You can look forward to seeing me, Wendell, Dawood, Poetic, J. Rob, and the ladies, Miss Tanya Gordon, Miss Quinita Rommel White. You're gonna see. It's gonna be the full compliment, because we're gonna actually talk about men's pain and if men have actually been hurt by women and what it did to them, the actual effects, because we're always talking about from a certain perspective. So we're gonna rock out with that. But in the meantime, between time, Zanis, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. All right. And away we go. How much is a kiss? A kiss that changes everything. Not like the weather, but better. Your view, your vision, your mission in life, basking off into inner space, and this kiss is your ignition.
The distance we traverse before we lean in begins with storied silences and freely given assurances. This light, in spite of dark places, allows us the space to breathe, accepting kindness at face value, and on the other side of my hesitance, I found you.
There is no price save for love, what you're willing to do to have it, keep it, sustain it like flame, roaring at first with the passion to the tiniest match when it's the end game. What price could you pay on the one of your dreams? The silver cloud lining, the gold stitching in the seams, the brightest sunlight and beautiful moonbeam. When you look into her eye and you see the gleam, how is it that this kiss could tell you a story? The glory of finding love in dark places, the emptiness of broken spaces, the paces we walk from the coldest talks and remember when you didn't have anyone. Men who just build, destroy, or run, treated hurt like fun, remember the kiss you gave, you butterflies and palm sweat, the late night phone call and don't forget me text. The first embrace is always the longest. You kiss with your eyes closed, willing love to shine like neon lights, easily seen in darkness. A lighthouse of love and affection.
I sigh with my eyes closed. The first embrace is the most revealing. When you exhale, I can glimpse what you're feeling. Your energy glows. Along the seams and through broken spaces, your energy flows. And you honor this process of mending with lavender light. I'm certain you've seen it. You run your fingers along the lines I've yet to recite. How much is a kiss? A kiss that traces the curves of the words and blended verses. Allow me to explore your stillness, your jawline, your willingness to quote poetry against my lips.
This kiss that changes everything warms the soul much like a fireplace, and a fireplace can be considered a harp or hearth. When we come to rest and become warm on the days of winter solstice, full lip kiss overflowing, and I don't want to hiss you if you hold back your feelings, your emotions, your desire. I keep my kisses like a fireplace and I stoke the fire. I need you to know that this kiss will have us traveling, melting into the night, dancing with days, affection so strong and overpowering with might. I need you to know that this kiss comes attached to a man who uses love like a gun, and I'm not afraid to shoot. I need you to know that a smile is kindness, but a kiss is giving joy that gives promises when we leave to meet again to confirm all that I have in my heart is for you. This kiss transforms futures and builds families and will follow with I do. So that I can be called husband, lover, father. I need you to know that the kiss will change everything. Our life fantastic, but ready for it, ready for you. You just have to move close, close your eyes, and watch this world happen.
Let me learn from you.
Let me learn from you.
Will you write,
will you write with me?
How much is a kiss again?
How much for a kiss again? Paul.
Oh, my God. That piece just peels my layers back. God. Oh, my God. It just consumes me. It's so beautiful. And you knew exactly what you were doing by getting her to do it with that voice of hers. Yeah.
Let me see if it cuts the mustard. Hey, Nick, how did that sound, sir?
Oh, that sounded great. I love the chemistry. The chemistry on that piece was top notch. And it was vibe. It was very soothing.
Okay.
I'll take it. I'm trying to pay you back for Sunday. Y'all caught me flat-footed with that joint. I was like, oh. I'm talking crazy. Anyway, Miss Gordon, how did that piece go? How was that piece?
Wow,
huh?
That was wild.
Yeah, that,
I enjoyed it. I like it. I'm looking forward to hearing it again.
Okay.
All right. That's what we're talking about. Wendell, what was your feelings on it, sir?
Brother. Man, that is it was tight work. It was tight work, man. Mm-hmm. And the two parts, it was like a verbal dance, you know, on the, and I really enjoyed that. It was painting a picture of motion in word on the canvas of one's imagination, brother. So I enjoyed it. It was dope.
That's super. That's super fine. Super fantastic. All credit goes to Zanis for arranging the piece and putting everything together. I put it in her hands, and this is how she arranged it, and this is how it came out. So props to her for this.
Thank you for
Who needs Netflix when you got a screenplay like that?
Okay.
All right, so ladies and gentlemen, we know what's happening. We see what's going on with everything else that's going on. Thank you for coming out. We did a whole bunch of things tonight. I don't know. We freeballed the situation. We freeballing. No draws on this one. This the no draws conversation. Shout out to everybody who participated in this intellectual freeballing of poetry reading with lots of sex and good things and social justice and everything. All we are some complicated people. We're onions. We have layers. It's great. it's great. Shout out to Swanky. Wait, Danny, can you hear me? Danny.
Thanks, Marley, for everything. We love it here. You know, we love Epiphany Radio. It's not our first rodeo. You know what I mean?
I know. I think we have to do it again when everybody's home. You know, so you know, jet lagging, getting people. You know.
Where? Like, you know, Raymond was dead ass. Like, we're really in the kitchen cooking. Cooking, smoking, vibing, right? Uh-oh.
That's how you do that. Always with the love. Always love. Always good energy. Always good energy.
Yes.
You're so funny. I'm weak.
Yo, that ass though. But no.
Thanks for having us again, yo.
No, we love you. We love Swanky. This is what it is. This is how we're doing. Thank you for coming on the network, supporters. Thank you to everybody who came out tonight and listened to the show. Shout out to Wendell, Van Meadows, La Perla La Negra, Tanya Gordon, Joe the Verbal Mind Dancer, Nick Nasty,
yes.
And essentially Zarnice, and of course, for rocking out with their socks out and doing everything underneath the sun and saving a brother's life all the time and making sure everything else is happening. You know, if you're in the war, they always bring the bill. It's Tila Shaw. Y'all give a round of applause for Tila Shaw for rocking out.
Yes. She always hooks it up. Always. Yes.
Without doubt.
Super duper dope. Super duper dope. All right, it's a school night. I'm fucking up. I can put myself on mute like 12 times. Forgive me. It's going to be terrible on the fucking thing. Everybody will be like, yeah. Old person catch while we late. Danielle's like, unmute your mic, Bobby. Yeah, because I know Van would. I'm glad J-Rob is not here because J-Rob would have got with Van and they would have been clowning me the whole time.
Yeah.
That's all right. They would have been on it. That's why I was like, this is the one time I'm happy my cousin didn't show up.
You can't
extend a clown beyond the show. It's not like a mistake of a word. You can't clown outside the show. So if you clown outside the show, you're being mean spirited and nasty. And then I gotta get in here. And then we gotta play the dozens. And we go back and forth. It's not gonna be good. You either clown me now because you can't clown me later. You gotta clown me now.
Just wait for it.
I'm telling you.
You wanna know how powerful it is? You wanna know how powerful it is, man? Because I'm still thinking about your libido.
Right. Y'all really gonna bring that up? Why you bring up old stuff? Right? I'm gonna make sure that we send we gonna send some pictures of yourself with your shirt off when you do work in the morning to a certain person.
Hey, I don't care. Listen.
Oh my God. We sending her the photos, son.
All that matter. I didn't. Why would you be sending photos of me to another person?
Listen. I'm gonna sit there and be like, yo. I'm gonna be like, listen. I'm like, he's interested.
Better and better. This just gets better.
He's interested. She's gonna be like, she's gonna be like, she gonna say, what do you mean, Sam Meadows? I'm gonna say with a straight face too.
I don't even have to worry about that.
I'm gonna be like, yo, I'm like, Van Meadows wants to give you that pineapple calligraphy.
I'll continue talking about your libido.
Well, I can deal with the libido, but you're gonna need your libido when you give up that pineapple calligraphy.
Man,
and open.
I don't have to worry about that. No, sir.
God. Oh, the headiness is on.
Anyway, thank y'all for coming. God bless. Get home safe. Wash your hands. Take care of yourself. Make sure you're doing everything else. And if you have COVID, stop coughing into the microphone. Just stay where you're at. And that's all it is. But I'm going to talk to y'all later. Thank y'all. God bless y'all. You caught that, right? I'm going to have that conversation with him, though. I'm like, B, if you coughing up a lung, why are you trying to repulse? What's up? Come on, dude.
I told him earlier. Man, look.
Anyway, that's besides the point. I was like, it don't sound sexy.
I was out for a month and a half. Cause I could not. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do it. I tried and I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I'm saying. But he was like, I'm sitting here like, bro.
Brave.
I'm like, come on, bro.
He's brave.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, I'm like, B, and then you doing erotic poems. You can't do an erotic poem with COVID. It don't work.
I already told him to sit his ass down, sit still, and he still ain't listening.
The hollerization. He said you're doing erotic poems with cough.
Yeah, you can't. It's a no.
Mm-hmm.
It's a no for me. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, and then he stops in the middle of a poem. He's like, oh, you know, I still got the COVID. I'm like, then why you doing? B, stop.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I hear it. We're going to find out.
I'm like, man.
He loves his art. He loves his art and his craft.
That's understandable, but that thing has a process. That germ has to run its course. And if you don't get the proper rest and let your body heal along with that, you're going to have a terrible setback. You'll wind up in the hospital. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be in the hospital.
Listen,
trust me.
It's real in the field because I know somebody was in the hospital, went to the hospital this weekend, and they out in Philly. And they was like, yo, I was like, I got to make the announcement tomorrow because they in the group. I got to tell them, be like, yo, listen. They said they was having problems on Saturday, and he was in the hospital by Sunday, and they still in there. So
mm-hmm.
It's not a game.
It ain't
so,
no joke,
anyway,
man.
Listen.
That thing is ugly.
Everybody take care. Everybody, God bless. Thank y'all for coming. I appreciate every single one of y'all. All right? We'll talk to you soon. All right?
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank
you for having me.
Thank you. I'll see you later. Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Joe, the Rhythm Mind Dancer, everybody else, Wendell, everybody came through.
I'll be back.
That's what I was hoping. All right. Talk to you soon. All right, everybody, good night.
Good night.
Good night.